Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Did you know the only wheelchair-accessible tide pools in the country are at Yaquina Head? By the time the federal government declared the Cape an outstanding natural area, it was actually half gone, blasted out, and trucked away by a gravel company. But as it turned out, there was a big silver lining to that cloud. This story was first published on October 6th of 2009. Here we go. Next time you're in the Agate Beach area of Newport, take a look north at Yaquina Head. It's hard to imagine the Newport area without it. But without intervention from the federal government, Yaquina Head would be gone by now, leaving only a small island with Yaquina Head Lighthouse on it to show where its tip had once been. Because that didn't happen, Yaquina Head is now a popular tourist destination and a park, featuring the only wheelchair-accessible tide pools in the country. Here's the story. Yaquina Head's basalt had been quarried since the 1930s. But after the war, in the 1950s, a Newport gravel company staked a mining claim on it. It was, at the time, federal land. The claim was staked under the Mining Law of 1872. This gave the company the right to extract mineral deposits from the head. In this case, the mineral deposits were the head. But most folks didn't really expect the company was serious about mining it. After all, this was prime oceanfront property. Later, the government sold the head to the mining company for less than $3 an acre, an incredible bargain. Even then, the property was worth a pile, maybe more so than today because it was far easier to get permission to build houses back then. But the company didn't build houses there. It started digging gravel. Not much at first, but by the mid-1970s, company owner Bob Vinert, I think I pronounced that right, was hauling hundreds of tons off the head every workday with the help of a staff of 25 employees. That's about the time things came to the attention of the state of Oregon, which started looking for ways to keep Vinert and his crew from quarrying Yaquina Head right into the sea, a process that Vinert, in a 1982 interview, estimated would take another 15 years. Vinert said that by then the headland would be entirely gone, reduced to nothing but a tiny island where the tip of the head is now with Yaquina Head Lighthouse perched on its top. Well, the answer turned out to be rich with irony. Not only could the state not stop Vinert, but it also could not stop buying gravel from Vinert's quarry to use on local roads. That's because the state was required to take the lowest bid for gravel. And since Vinert ran the only local quarry, he was always the lowest bid. The dilemma was finally solved with some quick work in Washington, D.C. by then-Senator Mark O. Hatfield. In 1980, the federal government named the head an outstanding natural area, and over the next 5 years, the Bureau of Land Management bought and traded to acquire the rest of the land. So now it's federal property again. And today, the gravel quarry is gone, reflected only in the name of Quarry Cove. And in one other thing, too. Quarry Cove is a divot in the side of the head, a big divot, blasted out by the quarry operators. After the BLM took over, it turned this cove into the nation's only wheelchair-accessible tide pools. The effort hasn't been a total success, because the ocean keeps trying to silt the place in with sand. But it's an interesting silvered lining to what, for nearby residents, seemed like a pretty dark cloud 30 years ago. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.